and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, Hertz Pattern Review, Knitted Sleep Masks, Rummaging in Clever Betsy, and my first go on a sewing machine in 30 years. This is episode 47. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as at The Ordinitter, and on Ravelry as Ordinary Knitting. I hope you've had a good knitting and crafting few days. I've had a really great crafting week and a bit since we last spoke. I've finished Hertz. I've knitted a sleep mask and made some pretty good progress with dressmaking. In the process, I have unfortunately discovered that yarn addiction is every bit as dangerous as fabric addiction. Should I say fabric addiction is every bit as dangerous as yarn addiction? Possibly even more so, because when you're holding fabric in your hand and you can see the pattern and imagine how it's going to sit against you, you get such an immediate buzz imagining this finished object. You know, with yarn, I love yarn, don't get me wrong, I'm not about to go over to the dark side and not enjoy yarn anymore, but there's always that element of imagination required, especially if the yarn has a marl or a sort of, I say, a pattern in it, you know what I mean, different colours, things like that. And you know that when you've finished your knitted item, the colours in your yarn are going to come out in a certain way and have a certain effect, and you have to imagine that. And of course it's going to be different depending on what you knit and whether you're knitting a small thing in the round or a big thing in the round or something flat or whatever, that the colours and the distribution is going to come out differently. Whereas when you're holding a piece of fabric, you know that is what the pattern is. And I must admit, my life is all about jam tomorrow and delayed gratification, and there's something about holding fabric in my hand and going, look at that gorgeous pattern, yes, I like that. I must admit, it gave me a bit of a rush. So here we are again, and let's kick off with the Hertz pattern review. Hertz by Claudia Eisenkolb is a sport weight short sleeve top. The designer herself describes it like this. Hertz, German for hearts, is a seamless raglan tee with a V-neck and neck bands worked as you go. This top has heart-shaped short sleeves, hence the name of the pattern, and corresponding bows at the hems. It is structured by the use of stockinette and reverse stockinette parts. The waist shaping is hidden in cables that look like little hearts as well. There we go, I couldn't have put it better than that. I bought this pattern. Often I use free patterns. The vast majority of the patterns I use are free, but I just couldn't find anything I liked. So on this occasion, I invested the corking sum of €6. I downloaded it from Ravelry. I cast it on with my KnitPro Nova Cubics 3mm short tips. This is one of those patterns where you cast on in a smaller needle and then move up to a bigger needle. And when I went from that, the 3mm short tips, I switched up to higher, 3.5mm fixed circular. I like these higher needles, and if I was ever looking at buying more fixed needles, which I certainly wouldn't rule out, I would be very happy to go back to higher. The pattern recommends a linen yarn, and I could see that it would be lovely in linen, but I expressly wanted to use a lilac marl 75% cotton, 25% acrylic yarn that I bought in Aldi last year. I liked the colour particularly, and I still, you know, with the finished item, I'm still very happy with the colour, and I wanted something lighter than DK. I was under no illusions that I would enjoy wearing a DK weight item in the summer, but I thought a sport weight might be different. I'll come back to that. This pattern uses quite a lot of different techniques, some that I'd never met before, and it's definitely one of the most challenging I have ever tackled, as much as anything, because you need a bit of precision in order to execute these techniques well. I definitely haven't executed them well in one or two places, and I kept going. don't know why. I just felt that it wouldn't be that important. Also, mistakenly, I imagined that one of the places where I had a bit of laddering going on, or very messy increases where you're left with quite loopy stitches rather than a nice regular gauge, I thought they would be at the back. Because I have longish hair, I thought I'd get away with it. And one of them's at the back, and one of them sits sort of kind of at the front of your shoulder, which I wasn't so pleased about. There is nothing I can do to cover it. The only thing that did occur to me, and I can imagine by the time I'd finished it would look worse than if I'd never bothered, was to put a little bit of ribbon there or something like that. But I'll see. I'll see as time goes on how much it bothers me and look at what I might do to try to sort it out. So you need to be able to work certain increases effectively. I spoke in one of my previous episodes that I made a decision to change how the increases were made at this certain point, and I never regretted that. So if you're interested, I'd say go back to probably episode 45, I think, when I talk about the choices I made, and it was the right thing to do. But hey, you know, you develop your knitting experience, and if you know that something isn't going very well, then you draw on that experience and you choose to do something slightly differently. The various techniques come with extensive instructions in the pattern. Once or twice, though, I did still go over onto YouTube if I couldn't work out what to do from the written instructions. I find personally there's really nothing like watching somebody else do something for helping that penny to drop rather than just describing it. You know, if I sat here and described to you how to do a double decrease, you might think, just take me through that again. If you watch somebody doing it, because you can see what it is that the knitter is trying to achieve, it just immediately, I find immediately, even if I don't get the hang of it straight away, if I understand what the finished sort of stitch or whatever is meant to look like, it makes it an awful lot easier to understand. I was about to say I found the pattern well written with no real head scratches. I mentioned later on there's one part where I was a little bit unsure what I was meant to do, but essentially I think I would stand by that. There's only one head scratcher and it's only a wee head scratcher. The pattern is written for sizes from extra small up to XXL, and I made it in large. This pattern starts knitted flat. You cast on at the back of the neck and then you create the back, the two sleeves and the two separate front parts as you go. These are then joined at the point of the V-neck, and from that point the top is knitted in the round until you reach the hem part, and you work flat again at this point to shape and bind off the front and back hems separately. I'm sitting here waving my fingers around. I look like an air hostess because I'm talking about the two sleeves and the two hems. I look like I'm waving my arms around showing you where the emergency exits are. So you've, from the point where you meet the V joins, you knit in the round. The main issue I had with this method is absolutely nothing to do with the pattern and everything to do with how much my tension changes between knitting flat and knitting in the round. I have done this before within one project, and I was thinking when I did it. And I think it was probably in the Pearl Soho evening cowl last year. And I think there's somewhere else where I've done it. And I find it a completely obvious and straightforward thing to do now. But I know the first time I did it, I didn't know you could do that within the same pattern. And it just gave me a moment's thought. So it's been a real eye-opener doing it to such a great extent. I've never had such large sections where it changes before. And in last week's pod, episode 46, I talk about sort of how I reacted to that and an idea that I'd had about trying to sort it out. If you're interested, you can go and listen to episode 46 and see what I had to say about that. But for the record, I'll just say it didn't make any difference. I put a photo on Instagram yesterday or maybe the day before where you can see the difference very clearly between where I've been knitting flat across the shoulder and the upper chest, and then as the top falls down from the point of the V down from the bust, you can really see the change. But curiously, give me your opinion. You might think it looks like it's a real howler, but actually I think it doesn't look bad in the finished article. I think it looks like it's something to do with the design rather than something that I've screwed up. But maybe I'm just living in la-la land on that. I mentioned before about a small head scratcher. This was on the sleeves. The sleeves definitely gave me the most pause for thought. Each sleeve is worked in two separate halves to create this little peaked finish that is mentioned in that description of the pattern at the beginning, her own description of it. And in order to do this, when you're going from knitting one half to knitting the other, you pick up three stitches from the half that you've just completed. And I felt in the photographs and the description, it wasn't really perfectly clear exactly where from the other half you picked it up. You know, you could have made it, you could have done it differently to within about three different rows. So I would have appreciated a little bit more detail on that. But essentially, however I did it, it pretty much worked. I think it's one of those things where, you know, unless you had either knitted or written the pattern yourself, if you saw it on somebody, it wouldn't cross your mind that that wasn't how it was meant to look. So that was that's the only part where I kind of was looking at the pictures and thinking, not entirely sure if I'm doing this right. I have now worn the top, shock horror, unblocked. I don't know about you, but if I buy something new, or as I have now done a couple of times, made something new for myself, if I put off wearing it, I get a mental block about it. I know it's ridiculous. I can be really happy with something in the changing rooms, but if I come home and it goes in the wardrobe or the drawer for a couple of weeks, I find myself almost starting to avoid it, and I can't explain that. And I really didn't want this to happen with Hertz. I tried it on when I'd hemmed I think I'd done the front part of the hem, and I tried it on because, again, if you listened last week, you'll have heard that initially I finished the hemming part, but it was too short, so I unpicked the hem and I redid it, and that was really worth it. But I just wanted to make sure, having done the first hem, that I had actually got it an okay length, and it was fine. But when I put it on, I sort of thought, oh, I'm not sure. So I've come to the conclusion that whenever I try on a new thing I've made for myself, I never like it at first, and then I come round to it. So I just decided, even though it wasn't blocked, I'd obviously weaved in all my ends and so on, I was just going to wear the bloody thing so that I couldn't get this mental block. I find just put it on and go cold turkey, really, I think is how I would describe it. So I think it was Sunday that I just got up in the morning and put it on, but I had to get changed because I was just too warm. I have definitely learned that sport weight is not the light yarn that I had imagined it to be. But the next day, which was yesterday, so that was Monday, it was much cooler. This is the UK after all. And it was a good weight. I just needed that little bit of extra weight in the main thing I was wearing. So that was about right. But it was, I would describe it as quite unseasonably cool for May yesterday. I think there'd even been a frost. And as the day wore on, I just forgot I was wearing it, which has to be a good sign. I very much like the fit. I would describe it as really spot on for my shape, which is no mean feat at all. I did find that the hem rolls up a bit. Now, I don't know why this should be the case. The back is worse than the front, and I wonder if it's just that, you know, even though I've made the large, that I'm just slightly bigger on the back and the front, that either than I realise or than the top was actually made for. Possibly that could be it. But I'll be interested to see how the sleeves and that rolling hem shape up after washing and blocking. Because although it's just gone in the regular laundry, it's going around as we speak. When it comes out of the machine, I'm not just going to bung it on the line. I'm going to block it out on the ironing board and we'll see how it goes. So as I've described, I had to knit that hem twice. This is definitely one of those where, although measurements are given, I don't think there's any substitute for trying it on and deciding if you're happy with the length before you start the hem. So that was definitely worth it. It's really made all the difference. As I said at the beginning, this is designed to be made in a linen yarn, and I made it in a 75% cotton yarn. And I'd be very interested to see how the top works out in a slinkier yarn. I mean, I'm never likely to go out and buy silk, but bamboo, maybe. I can see it sitting well in a yarn that doesn't have that catchy aspect that wool or the cotton that I use can have. The yarn, I like the colour, but it was a nightmare for catching on itself. And if I was to make it again, I might consider, I mean, because I would definitely wouldn't rule out making it again. I like it, but I definitely would make it in a slinkier yarn, and perhaps I would modify the sleeves. The sleeves are not actually seamed underneath. It's a very floppy sleeve, which is fine, but I can see making a more regular sleeve with that maybe comes a little further down towards the elbow. I think that could work out. So I still have quite a lot of this yarn. I think I've easily got enough to make a cardigan. Because the sport weight has turned out to be too heavy for a summer garment, I wondered about just accepting that it's going to be a winter thing and making a cardigan in the same yarn for effectively a winter twin set. So I've got a few ideas about that. I haven't cast on just yet, and I could probably sit here and talk for another half an hour about the ideas I've had, but I'm not going to because it's all pie in the sky at the moment. So to summarise, Hertz is a great pattern. It's well written, and I would describe it as a bargain at €6. My husband requires total sensory deprivation when he sleeps. Earplugs, sleep masks, and, well, whatever. I haven't knitted him any earplugs yet, but he's been using a couple of knitted sleep masks that I've made. One of them I devised myself about 4 years ago, and it was just a simple stocking stitch band. It was quite deep. I called it Geordie because when he put it on, he looked like that guy in Star Trek who doesn't have eyes but instead has that band around his face. He's into all that sort of stuff. It was a nice idea, but it really rolls up horrendously because at the point where I just threw this together, I didn't really grasp stocking stitch roll. So he's been wearing it for the last few days as an absolute emergency measure, but it's really no good. He also, I found the other morning, he was wearing a woolly hat, and we have had one or two cold nights, but it's probably overkill to wear a woolly hat in bed in May. But the other knitted sleep mask that he's been wearing quite consistently is one that was knitted originally as a cowl for my son. It's a lovely pattern by Amy Gropp Forbes. It's called the Braided Cowl for Kids. It's a simple cowl with a cable up the front at one point. But when I made it, my little boy was 4 years old, and you know how small children just become ferociously against a certain thing, and there's absolutely no logic in it. And unfortunately, this poor inoffensive cowl was the subject of great disdain from my son, and he never wore it. And I really can't remember how it came about, but my husband ended up using it as a sleep mask. I just can't recall quite how that happened. And he's been wearing it for a couple of years, but just recently it's disappeared. No idea where it's gone. And he asked if I could do him something else. So I looked about. I thought I would actually do something that was meant to be a sleep mask this time, rather than something I'd thrown together or something that was not designed for it. And I found a pattern written by a lady called Patty Ann, and the pattern is called Cotton Sleep Mask. This is a free Ravelry download. The virtue of this sleep mask, as opposed to pretty much all the others that I looked at, is that there are no ties. Many of these sleep masks are designed to be strapped on effectively with a ribbon or an eye cord or something like that, which you tie into a bow at the back of the head. And my husband is one of those who sleeps in 47 positions between night and morning, and it would come undone, or he'd lie on it, or it would wiggle round, and it just wouldn't be any good for him. So the virtue of this one is that it doesn't have that. It's actually just a thing that you slip onto your head. You don't do it up anywhere, and it's not also a huge piece. You imagine a woolly hat or something that was originally designed as a cowl for a child, which is going to be sort of 8 to 10 inches deep. It's not this huge thing that's going to cook his head in the warmer weather. It took no time at all to knit up, and it had its first run out last night. And I must confess, when I woke up this morning and he was still asleep, I was looking at it quite critically, and it was still in position, and he likes it. He said it performed well. So that's really good news. It's a pattern that works on measurements that you take yourself. The virtue of this obviously being that it fits to the individual. And the it's not a formula really, but the system that she comes up with is good. It gives a really nice fit. In fact, it's one of those, on the basis that you're not knitting it as a present or a surprise, when you think you might be getting there, it's worth putting it on the person and saying, what do you think? Because you knit it flat and then seam it, so you can make it as you go along, you can try it on. And I was at the point where I thought, well, yeah, I might need to chuck in an extra couple of inches. But he tried it on and he pulled it to the sort of tightness that he would like. And he said, that's actually just right. So that's great. My son has asked one too, for one too, so I'll make that for him. It's knitted in knit one purl one rib, actually, with a slightly fancy yarn over increase and decrease edging, just to make it slightly interesting. If I was to do it again, I would substitute those for regular increases and decreases. I can see that if you're making a gift for maybe a female friend or a relation, you might want that slightly decorative finish. But for my husband and my son, regular increases and decreases are quite adequate, and it'll make it that little bit quicker as well. It's deliberately knitted on slightly small needles to give a tight knitted finish, which of course works well when you're wanting to block out the light. You use 3.25mm needles and an Aran yarn. I just used some sort of rather horrible old circulars that I've got with a very stiff cable, but they are handy, and I've used these a number of times recently. Funny with these older style, doesn't matter how often you use them, the cable never relaxes. And the yarn I used was 100% acrylic Stylecraft Special Aran in 117 Royal. I'd bought this to make the TARDIS pattern on some mitts that I improvised for my stepdaughter at Christmas, because it's the darkest Aran that I've got. My husband has said he just wanted it dark, because I had said to him that I've got some recycled cotton Aran, and I thought in the warmer weather that the cotton would be nice on his head so that he's not absolutely boiling. But his criterion was that he wanted it to be as dark as possible. But for my son, I'll probably, because realistically, I think he wears it to be like dad. I very rarely, if I ever look in on him when I go to bed, he's very rarely ever wearing it. But he will sometimes put it on when he's literally going to sleep. Just to tinker about, really. So I think I'll just use one of the recycled cotton weights so that he's not getting too warm overnight. So I would really recommend this pattern. It knits up in no time at all, and it does the job, and it just works. I'm going to talk a little bit about dressmaking now. I said a while ago that this wasn't going to become a dressmaking podcast, and it won't, not in any detail, but at the moment I'm so excited about it that I just can't help sharing it. But if sewing or anything like that is not your thing, this is probably the right moment to skip on to the next pod, and thank you for sticking with it to this point. The thing I've been struck with is how much I have found my recent forays into dressmaking and sewing so satisfying and so fulfilling. It's like Dracula discussing how great he feels on his new vegan diet, quite honestly, because I've always disliked sewing so much, but I'm really delighted that whatever shift it is in my brain that's happened has happened, because I'm so thrilled with being able to do something new. Maybe that's all it is, just learning how to do something new. I went into town last week and I had a rummage in the charity shops. All I was looking for was an old duvet cover or an old pair of curtains or something like that that I might be able to use for a project bag. My mother years ago gave me a little wicker basket. It's the same idea as a cutlery tray for a drawer. It's a very small one, but it's that sort of idea. And she put in it a few starter things. And, you know, over the years, I've added in one or two items. But I'm finding now that I'm really wanting certain things a lot, I'm finding that that's not really working for me anymore. So I'd like to make a project bag. And I wasn't going to order any fabric, but I thought I would just see what I could find. So this is why I ended up in the charity shops. And I ended up with a bright green sandwich mac for £2 and two tops. One is a lovely vintage style. It's not actually vintage, but it's that kind of 50s shape. It's a V-neck short sleeve top in a nautical red and white stripe. And it has a bow on the V. And the other is a sleeveless white cotton top with lots of darts down the front. And that will go with anything. For £2 a pop, You really can't turn these things down. They're clean, they're in good condition. I was delighted, particularly with the sandwich, Mac. I mean, I imagine you'd have been looking at least 40 quid for that originally. It's lost one of the, I don't know what you call them, it's like an extra strap that goes round the wrist cuff, but I've never been too bothered about those anyway. In fact, I've been thinking of taking them off a proper winter coat I've got, because I often get my hand tangled up in them when I'm putting the coat on. They don't add anything for me visually, so it had lost one of them, so I just took the other one off. And I took off the similar things on the shoulders and then removed the buttons that had been associated with those. But I wanted to get new buttons for the front of the Mac. When I say bright green, I can't really overdo how bright green this is. It's loud and it's slightly silly, and it needs more than brown plastic buttons. So I went to Stitches in Leinster, doing my bit for local yarn shop day, just a few days early, and they have loads and loads of buttons, and I found some lovely green buttons in the shape of a flower. So at first I thought, should I get a contrast colour? But actually the green flower buttons on the green Mac just work quite well, and they're lovely. They've got, I think, just the right amount of sense of humour to go with a Mac that's quite that bright green. I was also looking for buttons for a black cotton coat that I have that also has very horrible brown plastic buttons with a kind of weird, almost like a grain effect in them, and they're horrible. And almost every single time I've put this thing on over the winter, I've thought, I really need to get new buttons. But I finally got round to it. I drive around all over the place, but the number of times I'm actually stopping in town and parking and getting out in town, it is probably literally about twice a month. Otherwise I'm in the supermarket, I'm taking the children somewhere, I'm at the leisure centre. So I really made a point of parking in town and just going and doing all these things, and it was fantastic. I was so delighted with what it came out with. So still in Stitches, I came out with these red buttons, and I've christened them squash tomato buttons, because they're, you know, flat in the middle, as buttons often are, but they've got this raised lip, and I just imagine if you squashed a tomato and it was flat in the middle and all the bits had come up the side. So I'm very pleased with all of those. There are photographs of both coats with their new buttons on Instagram. I've worn the black coat with the new red buttons since, but I haven't worn the green Mac. No real reason, it just hasn't happened. So the same day that I had this green coat and buttons success, I had a rummage in Clever Betsy in Leinster, which is rapidly becoming my favourite shop. I've talked about it before, but basically it recycles all sorts of craft materials. They put some together, they sort of upcycle them, if you like, into packs and kits of things to make and do. But also some of the patterns, fabrics, yarns, etc., all sorts of crafting odds and ends that they're given, they simply put them out for sale, which is just fantastic from my point of view. So I went in again with half an eye for yarn for making project bags, but I was also looking for dressmaking patterns, and I came away with an absolute cracker from Simplicity. It set me back a whole pound, and it's never been opened. Its proper name is Simplicity K2369, and it's for two dresses, a top, and a pair of loon pants. The loon pants I will never wear in a million years, but the dresses and the top are great. They're all a wrap style, gathered to one side, as opposed to a sort of evenly covered over type of wrap, which I see some tops. They're just made so that each half of the wrap top, whether it's just a top or whether it's the top part, the bodice part of a dress, they sort of come over equally and are stitched down. But all of these are actively gathered to one side, and I find this style really suits me. I've got big boobs, a relatively small waist, and a tummy which was ruined by a massive baby. Just as an aside, when I was pregnant with my daughter, she was breech, and she was breech right till the last minute. And rather hilariously, the doctors told me that the reason that she couldn't turn is that my tummy muscles were so strong that they were preventing her from sort of moving around as she needed to go head down, which is quite hilarious. She turned out to be just slightly under 8 pounds. My son, nearly 7 years later, was 10 pounds 4 ounces, and my tummy has never recovered. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. But then again, I mean, I pinged back into shape after I had my daughter, and I have done no pinging whatsoever since having my son, but maybe that's the difference between having a baby at 31 or 38. But anyway, wrap styles are now my friend, and I definitely gravitate towards them, and I was really thrilled to find three in the same pattern. So I had a look at material as well in Clever Betsy, but there wasn't really anything that I could see. I mean, when you're looking at fabric that's been donated, you're always going to come across the issue of it's just what someone had lying around, and also the pieces could be odd shapes and curious sizes and so on. So there wasn't anything that I could hold up and say, yes, I could get a skirt, a shirt, whatever out of this. But I did pick up about a 2 meter piece of a particular fabric, which to my inexperienced eyes, I thought, oh, there's no way that I can get an item of clothing out of this, but I might be able to do a project bag or something. Although now I realise that it really wouldn't have been suitable because it's not heavy duty enough. But it's a brownie pink and white pattern, and what it makes me think of, you see prehistoric cave paintings, and there are herds of bison or something, and they're all on the move, and there's no actual definable image in this material, but at a glance, that's kind of what it looks like. And I just liked it, and I thought it's the kind of material at some point I could see myself doing something with, building up my fabric stash already. So again, for £1, you just can't leave it in the shop if you think there's even a chance you might ever use it. I've posted a picture of that on Instagram if you're interested to have a look at it. So on Saturday, I went to my mother's house to use her sewing machine. I was talking last week about this wrap skirt that I found, very simple instructions. Again, that's cut to a sizing formula. So at this point, we were just doing a test run with an old sheet, just to give me a chance to use the sewing machine and also to see how the sizing would fit out. So at home, I'd made my template and I'd cut out the pieces. And I was really pleasantly surprised at how well it went with the sewing machine. I should say I had no involvement whatsoever in setting up the machine. That I have hideous memories of that sort of thing from school, so that's not something I'm going to be playing with for the time being. But my mum's sewing machine's always set up anyway because she uses it quite frequently. So I was really, really pleasantly surprised with how it went with the sewing machine. My seams were fairly straight. I'd cut the material out pretty badly though. The edges were pretty chewed and so on, but the seams were quite respectable. So it felt like absolutely no time at all, and I'd got the three panels seamed together. I had turned over the waistband and seamed that down, and then hemmed up the bottom edge. So now I've got this piece, and I've got to try it on and decide partly if I'm happy with it, and also where the button fixing or whatever I do, I might just do a hook and loop or something, where that needs to go. And because we were essentially happy without having actually tried it on properly, I just put it on over my clothes, but I was a bit wrapped up that day. Essentially, it's okay. We just might need to do a little bit of tinkering. So I went crazy and I ordered 3 meters of that turquoise animal print fabric that, again, I think I posted that on Instagram last week or the week before. I had asked Textile Express to send me a sample, which is something they offer to do on their website, and they did, and it was great. So it's that's at the knockdown sale price of £2 a meter. So I ordered 3 meters of that, and I'm just waiting for it to arrive. So as far as I was concerned, we'd had a great afternoon. I'd ordered my material, I'd got over my fear of sewing machines, and I was there with a toile that I can try on. Just before I left, I showed my mother this piece of fabric that I'd bought just for the fun of it. You know, why not? She likes fabric. Hey, look at this lovely fabric I got. And she decided that she could cut the pieces for the wrap top from the Simplicity pattern for it. She knew it would be a little bit of a pinch, but she reckoned she could do it. And she's very experienced with these things. And it just took my breath away. You know, 1 minute I'm showing her this material, the next thing I know it's in pieces with bits of pattern pinned on it. I was absolutely amazed. She's going to make it for me. I really hadn't expected that to be the outcome. I'd expected to hang on to the pattern for a few weeks until I found some material that I thought would be right, and probably just tinker about making some odds and ends hand sewing with this patterned material. So I was amazed. She said she's going to make it up to the point where I can try it on, see where we go from there. It's a slightly stretchy fabric. I can imagine it's probably not a very good idea for a beginner to work on it. I think you could probably put yourself off working with something, and it's the edges were rolling in slightly as she was showing me that, so I think it's better in her expert hands. But it's very exciting. I've got this new skirt and top in the pipeline, and I've just made my new Hertz top. So my head is absolutely spinning with ideas for things that I want to knit and sew. It's just, it feels fantastic. But for now, I'll just immediately, the next thing to cast on when I take my son to his swimming lesson tonight will be a sleep mask for him, and then I'll do a second one for my husband, so it's one on, one in the wash. And then the next big project after that is, depending on whether I'm still feeling selfish, I think I said at the beginning of this year that there was going to be an element of knitting for myself this year, and that's begun slowly, and I'm sort of learning as I go along what I'm happy to wear and what I'm not of hand knits. But the really crucial thing for me is that this is the down season. It's summer. People are less likely to be wearing mainstream knits. Cardigans, light cardigans, I can see. But it's a great time to be knitting those winter jumpers when there's no great need for them. Also, my son's grown a bit. I've noticed a few of his jumpers are looking a little on the short side now, a bit short in the arms. So I'll also be knitting something for him. But from a standing start, I would say probably after these sleep masks, unless anything else drops into my lap to do, I think I will start casting on a jumper for my husband. It'd be nice to be doing something completely different, and that's likely to be either in khaki or blue and white, neither of which are colours I've used recently. So it'll be nice to have a complete change of colour and all the rest of it from what I've been doing. So by this time next week, I should know what I'm doing. So I hope you'll join me then to find out more. Okay, bye.